Matthew chapter 7 this morning as we continue on our sermon series with the Sermon on the Mount that Steve's been leading us through, and also as we celebrate our graduates this morning. It just so happens that this passage of Scripture fits pretty well with this occasion. It also happens that this guy standing right here fits pretty well with this occasion as well. You heard Maddie mention it. Some of you maybe are a little newer to the church and you don't know that 14 years ago I came here as the youth pastor and spent 3 years doing that. Prior to that, I spent 14 years teaching in the public schools. Prior to that, I spent about 7 years in Christian camping. So investing in youth is just kind of second nature for me. I do lots of other things as the serve pastor now. I'm a big fan of our youth ministry. I'm a big fan of Will Currier right there. And so it's a treat for me to be able to celebrate you guys today. And so here we go. Matthew chapter 7. We've talked about lots of things in this sermon series, and today we're going to talk about paths and gates and trees and fruit and all of that kind of stuff. So beginning with a little funnel, if you will, Matthew was written by Matthew. Good job. And Matthew was one of the disciples. It was written around 50 or 60 A.D. Some try to date it later than that, but it doesn't include anything about the destruction of the temple, so we know it happened before that or was written before that. The cool thing about Matthew, as you go through it, is there's lots of red letters in it, because those are the words of Jesus himself, because Matthew, being a disciple, was there. This is a first-hand account. Matthew is part of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which means that from various viewpoints, they cover a lot of the same things. John covers some of the same things, but also some different things. John was written a little later. John was the youngest of the disciples, probably a youth himself. So it's fun to read Matthew. It's fun to read the red letters in your Bible. I encourage you to do that sometime. Because these are the very words of God. And so let's begin. Verse 13, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and broad, the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So as I was working on this sermon, sort of trying to put it together, Steve already had the title, The Narrow Way, but there are some other titles that you could put on this sermon as you look at this passage. One of my Bibles calls it The Way to Heaven. The way, that word way, being a reference to sort of the first title of the early church. It was known as The Way. You were a follower of the way. And so that's a cool title. Obviously, we could say The Narrow Gate, or the narrow way. Those are in that passage, and we're going to talk about that in a second. You know, you picture a narrow gate or a narrow way. Maybe it's a little crowded little trail or something that's a little more difficult to go down. I don't know. Those would be great titles, but I ran across this one title in one commentary. Commentary is what smart people write about the Bible. And this one commentary called this the scariest passage in the Bible. I'm like, I like that name. That name suits it pretty well when we get a little further down and Jesus tells some people, go away. Because that's kind of scary if Jesus were to tell you that. So we're going to talk about the narrow gate, the narrow path, the narrow way. When you study this passage, you see that Jesus is talking, and he's talking to his disciples, and he's kind of giving this parable. It's kind of a parable, kind of not. But he uses this imagery of a narrow gate and a narrow path and a wide way and a wide path. And when you study this, you find out that this could absolutely refer to salvation. There's the wide way of the world, and there's the narrow path of salvation. There's everything the world has to offer, air quotes, because the world always overpromises and underdelivers. And there's everything that God offers through Jesus Christ. And it's 100% true 100% of the time. And so as he's giving this lesson, he talks about this. You guys need to understand that One of the things that you get to take with you to college as you go, or the workforce, or the mission field, is your faith. You guys are doing a great job of that, and you guys are even encouraging to our youth that will graduate in a couple years to do the same thing. You see, the whole thing, the whole path in life starts with salvation, with your faith. You know, there's another place in Scripture where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The world will tell you different things. The world will tell you, everything kind of leads to God. The world will tell you, you know, you go out there and you go get it and you make your own way. Pastor Will even said yesterday, you know, you're told that you could do great things and you just look within and you have the power and the strength to do that. And how many people do you know that have done that have crashed and burned? Because they got out on the wide path, and as one of our, they're not a covenant partner, but one of our farm team folks that does ministry, great ministry at Texas A&M, by the way, said, I've gone out and I've tasted everything the world has to offer, and all I got was hungry. You see, salvation is where it starts. An encounter with Jesus should change your life. Your salvation should change your life. If you say you're a Christian, but your life really isn't any different than anybody else's around you, maybe you're not on the narrow path. Maybe you're over on the wide path and you need to cut through quickly. Jesus goes on to talk about the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. It's not the popular view. It's not the popular view. You will be ridiculed for your faith. But as I shared with you just down the hall earlier, I've never met anybody that lived a life of faith and got to the end of their life of faith and said, that was garbage. I should have just gone and run and play in the world and done everything that the world had to offer. But I've met some folks, a couple sitting in this room right now, as a matter of fact, with their kids now out of the house and into their own lives, that looked me dead in the eye just a year or two ago and said, I wish that we had lived our life of faith when our kids were under our roof, so that we could impact them, so that we could have what this passage calls fruit in just a minute. They don't regret living their life of faith now, but they regret walking that wide way earlier in life. There's a guy that you may have heard of that just recently passed on Friday morning, a guy named Tim Keller. Tim was a pastor in New York City, pretty hard place to do ministry. Tim was an author and a conference speaker and all of these kind of things. And as you begin to read the condolences that people are writing and putting on social media, you begin to find out, while he was a very popular, very well-known pastor and writer and speaker, you find out pastor after pastor after pastor, trusted names that we all know, all say the same thing. He was a man that loved the Lord. He was a man that valued preaching the Word of God. He was a man that valued planting churches, making his church now bear fruit of other churches. He was a big fan of discipling others and discipleship programs and being clear about theology and Scripture and things like that. He got diagnosed with cancer, a year or two ago, went through the fight there. It did not go well, and so they chose to put him in hospice. And his family would gather around with him and pray, sometimes a couple times a day, and one of his sons posted this comment on social media about their dad. They said, the other day we were praying, and dad said, the Lord has been good to me. I'm not scared of this. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go be with Jesus. Let's go. That's the end of a life well lived, following the narrow gate and the narrow path, bearing fruit and being successful for the Lord, not for man. The next verse says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit, good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. You guys are fixing to go out of these doors, out into the world, the mission field, colleges, the workforce, all of these things, and you're going to be thrown to the wolves. You're going to hear every sort of everything that you can't even imagine that people think is in the Bible, and it's really not. You're going to have people that try to tell you things that are just crazy. You're going to see people that live a different kind of life than you live. You're going to know them by their fruits. You're going to find people, I know this is hard to believe, but you're going to find people that play church. They can say a few churchy things. They might know the words to a few songs. They might even know a Bible verse here or there. But if you step back and look at their life, you're going to realize pretty quickly, they're just playing. They're just playing the church game. They're not getting the full value of what Christ has to offer them as a true believer. We find out that's not a good thing here in a minute. There's another place in Scripture where Jesus talks about the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, or some versions say to the fullest. Again, some of those people that I've known that have lived the wide path and done all of the things of the world end up feeling helpless, hopeless, hungry, angry, and just busted. And they keep searching and searching and searching. And I can take you to people that have chosen that narrow path, that have lived out their salvation in their life every day, that are in their 80s and their 90s right now, that are the happiest, most satisfied, most peaceful, ready-to-go people that you've ever met in your life. And they lived it out in their own life. They chose to live it out in front of their family. They chose to live it out with their spouse. That's important. That's coming up in your future too at some point here. They chose to live it out in the workplace, in every area of their life. They had life abundant, not life empty. You will know them by their fruit. Here's the scary part of this passage. This is why one commentator called this the scariest passage in the Bible, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, it starts with salvation, the narrow gate, the narrow path. Then it goes to Christian living, the fruits of your life, living for Christ. And you will be identified by that just as much as the people that live the wide way will be identified by their bad fruits. Good trees, good fruit. Bad trees, bad fruit, cut down, go in the fire. Okay? We all could name names of pastors and people that we know that if you look at them for a little while, you understand they're on a stage propositioning their own ideas, propositioning their own books, their own whatever. It's all about them. It's very little to do with God. There are people that are playing church, maybe even that go every Sunday. But salvation really didn't change them. There's nothing different about their life. There's really no fruit in their life. And at the end of life, they're going to wonder what happened. You don't have to live that way. See, if you're a doer of the word rather than a hearer of the word, if salvation has changed you and God's word is in you and you're living your life for him, then you're bearing good fruit. And you are moving towards that joyfulness or that abundant life that Jesus talks about in John 10. The narrow gate, the narrow way, the good fruit, the bad fruit. Seems like sometimes these are in tension with each other. Narrow and wide, good and bad fruit. That was a teaching method that was used back in Jesus' time. Bob Utley calls those paradoxical truths. You see this side of it and this side of it. When you smash them together, it makes sense. If you're just a hearer but not a doer, it doesn't make sense. But if you're a doer, it makes sense. If I could leave you with a couple of challenges, I would leave you with this. For you guys that are graduating, they're not solarium cards. Don't worry, nobody's crying except me. There's one way. There's one way. The world will tell you there's many ways, but there's one way. You have a calling to follow that way. You have a calling to take your faith with you. Answer the phone. Take your faith with you. Call your mother. You guys have done a great job. You've made it to the end. You've graduated. There are people that started freshman year with you that did not graduate and will not graduate. So congratulations to you. Congratulations to you also for living out your faith in front of this group. I want all you guys to look over here. These guys are graduating, like Maddie said a few minutes ago. They're moving on. But you're still here. When I look at you, when I've looked at other groups of students, I've been able to see that there's leaders that rise up out of there, and there's a group of leaders right here that have poured into this student ministry and have poured into you. I want you to know, there's some leaders right here. You guys are the next those guys. You got it? You need to keep coming to youth. You need to stay involved. You need to get a crazy little friend group that's not afraid to jump in the pool at a graduation party and hang out and play games and do life together and encourage one another. They did a great job at that, and you're next. So as we celebrate them, I'm also celebrating you guys. Try not to fall. As I close up this morning, I'm going to ask all of you to stand up. I want all of you to just turn your attention to these four right here. Ethan, Stephen, Aiden, and Madeline. I want you to pick one of those names. Go home, put a note card on your fridge, write on the bathroom mirror their name so that you can remember to pray for them. I want you also to remember that there's another group of youth behind them that's coming up. And these guys were awesome and those guys are awesome. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you and we thank you for today. We thank you for this chance to worship you, to celebrate our graduates. Lord, to be reminded that it starts with salvation and it ends with bearing fruit, that is following you, doing your will, not choosing the ways of the world and the wide path and the wide gate and the way that leads to destruction and emptiness and brokenness and eternal separation from you. But Lord, choosing the way that leads to you, choosing the way that builds relationship with you, choosing the way that glorifies you above even ourselves. Lord, I pray for these graduates as they go out of here that you would use them in mighty ways on their campuses and foreign countries and in the workplace and around the world, that you would give them favor in your name wherever they step their foot. Lord, I ask that you would be with them and keep them safe as they travel and come to and fro. Lord, I ask that you would help them to do well at work and in classes and on the mission field. Lord, that we would be able to sit in a few weeks, in a few years, and talk about the accomplishments that they've done because they followed you and how you've chosen to use them. Lord, we also pray for this next group that's coming up. There are some mighty leaders in there. I pray that you would gently tap them on the shoulder and allow them to step forward, allow that group to flourish, and allow that group to become what this group has been, and maybe even better. We thank you for today. It's in the sweet and holy name of Jesus that we pray. And everybody said, amen.